I'm going to call this a public meeting of the Oregon Board of Forestry to order and first call the roll. Nils Christofferson.
Here.
Tom Insko.
Here.
Mike Rose is unable to be here today. Cindy Deacon-Williams, due to an unfortunate accident yesterday, won't be able to be here, but will call in later and I'm here. So we don't have a quorum here at the present. So we will forego the initial consent items until we have Cindy on by telephone, and she'll be here on that call for the action item that we have before us today. I do want to note that pursuant to ORS 192.660.2H, the board will meet in a closed executive session at the conclusion of this public meeting. The purpose of that session will be to confer with legal counsel regarding the board's rights and duties related to current litigation or litigation likely to be filed. Representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the public are not allowed to join. We will adjourn the full board meeting directly after the executive session is done. So we'll now move to the state forester for his comments. And I do want to... Actually, I want to say thank you to Board Member Insko for having us here today. He's been a great member of this board, and there's actual precedent. One of the original members of the newly created Board of Forestry after the legislation passed in the late 80s was President Gilbert from this university, so whose name this room or this building honors. So yes. We're happy to be here and appreciate you inviting us.
Great to host you. It is. I do want to highlight that President Gilbert, who served for, I think it was 14 years as Eastern Oregon University's president, served as the chair of the Board of Forestry. This facility was named in his honor. A great citizen of Eastern Oregon, resided up in Wallowa County. And his wife still does. And we're actually, I want to thank everyone for putting up with some of our construction work, because part of what we're doing here is modifying all of this front entrance of Gilbert and the area to the east of here to really finish up this northeast portion of the campus. So we are partially under construction right now. Well, we're not, because we had to shut down over the winter months. We're about ready to start again. So great to host you here at Eastern Oregon University.
Thanks. Peter Green.
Good morning, folks. I want to provide some brief opening remarks to set the context for today's meeting, as most everything I will share with you will be covered later in the agenda. I also want to say thanks to Tom and appreciate the opportunity to be here in La Grande at Eastern Oregon University. The connection with Board Member Insko has been extremely important for the board and the agency, and it's great to be here at Oregon's Rural University. I can't get over saying that. I'm also excited about tomorrow's conference and field tour on mass timber and its connection to increasing the pace and scale on the treatments of federal forest. We'll hear more about that conference and tour at the the last agenda topic. I suspect that most of you are aware, it's June now, and we have three locations in fire season as of today: the Central Oregon District, Southwest Oregon District, and Walker Range. And we expect the Klamath Lake District to announce probably by the end of the week. So we're getting underway a little bit earlier than usual. And unfortunately, we again expect a severity level that's higher than our 10-year average in terms of fire. As of today, we've experienced 147 fires, about three dozen more fires this year than our 10-year average at this time. So the signs aren't good. The Fire Protection Division, the area and the districts have been heavily invested in bringing our seasonal firefighters on board and getting them fully trained up. This is a time when Oregonians are depending on us to do what we do best: help prevent and fight wildfires. And when they do occur, use aggressive initial attack to keep them small. And when they escape, our mission's pretty much the same. We're going to put it out as quickly as possible. I met earlier this week with our incident management teams and their general staff to discuss plans for the season. Everyone understands the seriousness of our business, and we are ready. We have one of our incident commanders here with us, Joe Hessel. Thank you. Fire remains our top priority, but of course we have competing priorities, both agency-wide and within our fire business. But as always, our number one priority is initial attack, along with managing and mitigating risk in our other business. Each district, area, and division at the state office has drawdown plans that assure that we are managing appropriately to meet our mission across the full agency. But bluntly, we don't have the same people we had a decade ago, and that means we don't have as many people to go around. This is a challenge for all of us, and when we do get into a really bad fire season, we are stretched to meet our mission in our other divisions. The agency strategic initiative is intended to address this challenge, which you'll hear more about later in the afternoon with Doug Graff. And then I'll let Ron Graham will give us a final word on our fire season readiness this morning. I really do want to right now take the time to recognize and thank all IT, IMT members for their commitment and their dedication. If you don't know, participation on an IMT is completely voluntary. It goes above and beyond their regular job duties. The last several years, the last 5 years, have been really challenging for ODF in general and in particular for our incident management team members. They have sacrificed time away from their families. They've missed important personal commitments and have had to reprioritize their workloads. These teams play a critical role in the efficient, effective response of our complete and coordinated fire protection system. The extra work and stress they take on when volunteering for service on an IMT is certainly appreciated by me and our entire executive team. I'd also like to take a moment and recognize the Deputy State Forester, Area Directors, and the Protection Division leadership. They take on an unbelievable role during these challenging times, and these key leaders have played a tremendous role in providing leadership and support for all of us. So I just would like to take a moment to recognize those folks and give them, you know, their due. So thank you.
Any other comments from board members?
Sure. If I could share a few remarks following yesterday's board subcommittee on federal forests. And maybe first, just since we're in Northeast Oregon, to set a little context, I'm not sure how many people came here from the west side, but that the east side is a bit different. East of the Cascades, about 70% of our forested land falls on federal land, and the changes that took place on the management of federal land in the 1990s had a dramatic impact on the management of these forests and on rural economies and jobs. And in Wallowa County, more appropriately on the Wallowa-Whitman National Forest, just for context, the forest had 670 FTEs in 1992, and today it has 270. So a dramatic reduction in staff. In 1992, it generated about $37 million in gross revenues back to the federal government. Last year, it generated $890,000. And it spent between $12 to $15 million fighting fire. So we've got a dramatically different situation than we had in the 80s, 90s, when people were concerned about over-harvest and the loss of old growth. And this area is also an area with the Applegate partnership that really provided some of the early creative thinking about the formation of collaboratives and trying to bring together stakeholders around an agenda of whole watershed restoration. And so I provide that as a little bit of background. There's a strong desire, I think, for the communities in Eastern Oregon to see reinvestment in the federal lands, improved management of these lands to reduce the risk of wildfire and reduce the extent of insect and disease that we see. That is also a factor on private land now. But to do it in a way that applies the best science that we have and really is cognizant of the importance of old growth, of riparian structure, of diversity to the health of these landscapes. So that's just a little bit of background, and thanks for your patience with that. What we in the meeting yesterday, we invited a representative from Boise Cascade to give an update on the indefinite curtailment of the Elgin Stud Mill, one of several mills lost in Eastern Oregon back in, I think the number now is over 60 mills have shut down in Eastern Oregon over the last 40 years, and many of those were shut down since 1992. Lindsay Warnes came and spoke to us on behalf of Boise, spoke to the fact that the Elgin Stud Mill is an old mill, old technology, not very competitive with some of the newer mills in the region, but, you know, connecting the dots with the real importance of some confidence in log supply as a basis to make any capital investments. And that we are lacking that here in Northeast Oregon. For many years now, both the mills and the contractors have relied on the activity that's been taking place on the private industrial ground and the private family forest ground. That's beginning to tail off. That has been managed at a more aggressive rate than it had been in the previous 40, 50 years. It needs to tail off. There's some good future potential on a lot of that ground, but the log supply from that ground is certainly gonna reduce in the near future. And therefore, without any certainty from federal lands, there's a real lack of, there's no real basis for a company like Boise or any of our contractors to do investments in their companies and probably setting the stage for more shifts and more capital and equipment to other parts of the country, particularly Southeast United States. So we've got real concerns. We really need to get to the bottom of, how do we support the federal government out here, the Forest Service, through tools like Good Neighbor Authority, through the application of some of the other, silvicultural or implementation tools like designation by prescription and designation by description, the use of CEs where there's good agreement and basis to do that, that reflects the significant reduction in staffing on our federal forests and the need to be more efficient in moving through NEPA. Those are all ideas that came out from our conversations yesterday, as well as the real importance of the state being engaged in the Blue Mountain Forest Plan revision process, which we hope to see coming to a close here and hopefully will set the stage for reinvestment and renewed activity on these forests. We spent a fair bit of time talking with Lindsay about those issues. As a result, we never got to the Oregon State Fire Summit report. We shifted then to a discussion about the Council of Western State Foresters meeting and also the ideas from the WGA report on National Forest and Rangeland Management that were carried forward in the omnibus bill, and then looked at which of those ideas and other ideas from the Western Governors Association report would we want to see, would we want to keep advocating for in future legislation, whether it's the Farm Bill or other activities. When we finished those discussions, we invited public comment. Rex Storm provided additional comment about, you know, the real need to be serious about the management of these federal forests, kind of complementing many of the points that had been raised in the conversation with Lindsay Warnes, and suggesting some different things that the board could do, which we agreed as a subcommittee to consider and talk about and bring forward as appropriate in a future meeting. And then Mark Stern raised some points about smoke management, which I understand he'll raise again today. But it was a productive meeting, and thanks to everybody that was able to attend. Would you like to add anything to that?
I think you've covered it well. Thank you.
I think most of you know that Tom Insko has been honored with, and to our detriment, with an appointment that was approved by the Senate to the Oregon Business Council. And I think that's going to be a really good opportunity. But I believe he negotiated with the governor that he couldn't do two boards at once. And so while he is unofficially off the board, we also know that he serves until he's replaced. So we're still having the discussions. But this is likely the last meeting that he may be here in person. And I did want to take the time to really recognize the work that he's done, the commitment he's made, particularly when he stepped up and took on the role as a university president. That's a very large responsibility. He took that on, I'd say, with very little experience in academia, and I did warn him what he was getting into from personal experience. So we really do appreciate, and we've gotten something to sort of recognize your service on the board. And, of course, it's a photo of Eastern Oregon.
Awesome.
Yes. So, on behalf of the people of Oregon, Representative Tom Insko, gratitude for his leadership and service on the board.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. And, you know, we'll continue to follow wherever you are for the next couple of board meetings if it makes a difference.
Frankly, I was very torn. I think people know I'm passionate about these issues. We'll talk about it tomorrow as well at the Mass Timber Summit, how interconnected our communities are to the resource environment in which we live. In rural communities, especially, that's magnified significantly. And one of the reasons I made the transition to the university is my passion to have a greater impact in Eastern Oregon. And again, with a university that primarily serves students that come from rural communities. And so serving on the Board of Forestry has been a real pleasure. At times frustrating that we don't get more done, but I understand that. It's been educational for me as well, the complexities that we face. It's brought more awareness for me in terms of some of the differences west side to east side that do exist, and the importance of having a board that really represents all the Oregon perspective. All the forest land perspectives. But most importantly, and the highlight for me, and I think Sybil spoke to this too at our last meeting, is I've really enjoyed the people on the board, how constructive people have been in terms of disagreeing but doing it with respect and really talking through and working through difficult issues. Again, I'd always like the pace to be quicker, but such is life in a citizen board like this. But it's been an honor. I will stay connected. Again, I don't want to go into too much detail, but some of the connections we're building as a university, with Lower Resources and other, important, partners across the state will have interconnection with what the Board of Forestry does in the future too. So thank you very much. It's been an honor.
Thank you. Next is our public comment period. We do have one person who has signed up to appear today, who's come a long distance to get here, Leanne Thompson, who is the Clatsop County Commissioner. Sorry about that.
Well, Clackamas County is growing at a much faster rate than Clatsop County, so the confusion is understandable. Thank you for making time for me this morning. I'm honored to be here. I am Leanne Thompson. I'm the Clatsop County Commissioner for District 5, which is the southern half of Clatsop County. And I mention that because I'm 20% of the population that I'm representing, but 60% of the operating revenue that supports Clatsop County operations. I used to come to your meetings when I was the county's representative to the Council of Forest Trust Lands. I am no longer that person. That's Commissioner Sullivan. I do, however, want to speak to you today in support of the issues that you're already discussing, which is how to have balance and harmony as we look at how we honor the people and the planet. I want to speak to the necessity for adequate and stable income for both families and communities. I look on cross-laminated timber not as an evil plot, which some of my constituents think it is, but as an opportunity to make automation our friend, to steward our resources more carefully, more thoughtfully, more effectively, to deal with present realities in workforce numbers and skill and motivation, mindset, to look at how we maintain quality of life in Oregon, because I see us at a pivotal point, which is subject to negotiation right now. And I hope that those negotiations are conducted between friendly people who want to see the best in each other, not in take no prisoners blood politics. I think we see some of each of that. And I would hope to focus us on the most constructive outcome. I'll do everything I can to help you in that regard, and I'm always happy to be at your on the answering end of any questions you have for me. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for coming. Any questions? Comments?